second and long. Brady finds the open man, Rob Gronkowski. Tom Brady with a strike. And the Patriots build on their lead.
That was Rob Gronkowski with his second touchdown of the day, helping the Patriots defeat the Miami Dolphins 35-17 on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. That was Gronk's 16th multiple touchdown game as a Patriot, a club record, a lot of records set on Sunday. Welcome to Season Ticket, everybody. I'm Chris Gasper. It's Monday, November 27th. I'm joined here by Ben Volen, senior NFL writer for the Globe. Ben, much like the Patriots, we're going to cover a lot of ground today when it comes to where they're at in the season. They're 9-2 right now, 11 games into this thing. They ran all over the Miami Dolphins. And I want to start there because I feel like the NFL schedule makers tried to artificially inject some suspense into the AFC East, which is the least suspenseful division in all of professional football. They tried to do this by scheduling these division games for the Patriots at the end of the year. And that game yesterday just reinforced to me how wide the gap is between the Patriots, now winners of seven in a row, and the rest of the division.
Yeah, I think to borrow a line from the late Denny Green, everyone in the AFC East is who we thought they were entering the season.
They are who we thought they were.
I don't think we expected much competition for the Patriots. And the Bills and Dolphins and even the Jets, they, you know, held on for a little bit, surprised us. They took their seasons probably into the halfway point. But here we are now, week 12, and they are who we thought they were. And the Patriots have a huge lead in the division and a huge lead in the AFC other than Pittsburgh, too. There's really no other challengers for the number one seed right now. I don't even know if it matters this year because, again, watching Pittsburgh last night in that game against Green Bay, I don't think the Patriots would have too daunting a task to go into Pittsburgh and have to win there. But, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Right now, obviously, Patriots are cruising along, seven straight wins. And even when they win sloppily like they did yesterday, really not a crisp game at all from them on offense and special teams especially. They still win by 18 points and put up 35 and cover the 16.5-point spread. So it's really, you know, kind of champagne problems around here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will certainly get to Pittsburgh later in the show. I think that's the game that everybody is circling. And that's the one non-division game that is remaining. And ironically, it's the only game of real import, I would say, remaining on the schedule. To your point about the AFC East, if the Patriots go to Buffalo next week and win, they would then be up four games with four games to play. So they would all but clinch it. It wouldn't be done because they still have to play Buffalo again, but it seems like they're going to clinch this thing. And that leads me to this, Ben. I'm a little bit worried that during this stretch here, and it's going to be three straight AFC East games, so they beat the Dolphins, they'll face Buffalo this coming Sunday in Buffalo, and then they have a rematch with Miami coming up, which will be a Monday night game the following Monday night. I'm a little bit worried that they're playing so well and they're so sharp right now and they're building towards playing their best football that they could get dragged down to playing to the level of their AFC East competition, which is pretty low. And I felt like that was something that sort of happened to them a little bit yesterday. I mean, you had Ted Karras with the snap situation with Brady where Brady's not paying attention. You had a bad interception by Brady.
Brady steps up, clean pocket. Brady intercepted.
There were some miscues and there was some sloppiness in the game, and I feel like the Patriots, whether they admit it or not, subconsciously know that they don't have to be as sharp to beat these other teams in the division.
You know, I just thought of something. Can we call that Ted Karras play a snap-fu, maybe?
Oh, I like that. Snap-fu.
A snap-fu from
Should've
Ted Karras.
That.
That snap. Rolling around. Brady trying to get to it. Oh, it's scooped up by Jones. Stays on his feet for the touchdown.
Played like a backup center yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I'm worried about with these division games is just they kind of turn into rock fights. And we saw that with the Dolphins yesterday. These are hard-fought games, very physical. And the Patriots suffered a lot of injuries yesterday. Nate Ebner likely tore his ACL, probably going to be done for the year on that fake punt. We saw Trevor Riley go out with a head injury. Trey Flowers, I believe it was a rib injury. Kyle Van Noy went out with a quote-unquote leg injury. So these games, while they might not be competitive, they're going to be hard fought and they're going to be very physical. And so I just worry about the Patriots emerging from these division games in good health and ready for the playoffs, because obviously I think we all have seen it over the last 5 years. That's pretty much what's going to determine whether the Patriots get to the Super Bowl or not, is whether they're healthy. And obviously we all know they've already lost Edelman and Dante Hightower. And if Kyle Van Noy's got a semi-serious injury, that is obviously very bad news. They just can ill afford to lose more players. So, you know, the Dolphins in 2 weeks, that's going to be a tough one. Down in Miami, They're going to have blood dripping from their teeth. They're going to have a lot to prove. You know, we know what Ndamukong Suh can do to a team. Cameron Wake, those guys delivered a lot of hits on Tom Brady.
They beat up on Brady.
He's feeling pretty sore today. So that's my big concern with these division games, is just emerging from them healthy.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And obviously that Kyle Van Noy injury is really one to keep an eye on, because he's so crucial and key to what they've done this year defensively and the defensive turnaround. And that defensive turnaround really continued again against the Dolphins, Ben. The Patriots defense allowing a season low 221 yards. They held Miami to 2 of 11 on third down. That was another best for the Patriots defense this season. And the Patriots defense had a season high 7 sacks. That brings me to this. When you look at them playing this game against Miami and playing these games against the AFC East, there are, like, to me, what I would say ancillary elements of their game that they're going to need in January to advance to the Super Bowl that you're looking at. And those elements looked really good against Miami yesterday. The defense, the running game. Deion Lewis had his first career 100-yard game. It was the Patriots' first 100-yard rushing performance of the season. And I worry a little bit about them just getting lulled into a false sense of security with some of these things that they're going to need to beat the really good teams in January, and really more probably February once they get to the NFC in the Super Bowl, feeling like those things are set and they're good, and that's because you're playing sort of the AFC. So how much of that is the Patriots, their improvement, that's where they're at with these elements of their game, and how much of it is the fact that the Dolphins are a team that is on a 5-game losing streak?
Yeah, definitely by the running game right now. You can't fake that, especially with two backup offensive linemen, and at times they were using their third stringer yesterday in Cam Fleming at right tackle. When Waddle went down. So you can't fake the 196 rushing yards. If you want to take away Nate Ebner's fake punt, it's still 182 rushing yards. Deion Lewis looked phenomenal yesterday. 320-plus yard runs, ripping off the big chunks.
Third and one. Lewis! The cutback by Lewis. And he's dumped inside the five.
That's, you know, offensive line hitting their blocks, dominating at the second level. Deion Lewis making them miss. Against a pretty solid Dolphins front. And again, you're doing it with a couple backup linemen. So certainly I think the running game is for real, and they're going to need that. You obviously throw to win, but you need to have that balance. The defensive, you know, certainly the secondary is for real also. They only allowed one play over 20 yards yesterday. I know it's Matt Moore. I know it's the Dolphins
offense.
He's terrible.
I'm sorry.
He is. He's
dreadful. You will not be seeing a Matt Moore caliber quarterback in the playoffs.
Hopefully. I mean, last year, Matt McGloin started the game for the Raiders, so you never know.
Barring injury, you will not be seeing Matt Moore caliber quarterback.
Of course, yes.
In the playoffs.
There's a debate in Miami, should it be Moore or Cutler? And to me, Matt Moore is a great backup, but that's where
to me, that debate's irrelevant. They both stink.
Well, yes, that's a good point, too. But Matt Moore, one thing he can do is push it deep.
True.
So you got to like the fact that the Patriots only gave up one pass over 20 yards, and
that's a great point.
That's been the MO for the last 2 months now, is they've played a lot of cover two. They're taking away the deep pass. What I don't buy yet is the pass rush, and the pass rush looked great yesterday. 7 sacks, 61 yards lost. To me, that was a little fluky. That was the Dolphins getting behind in the score, having to throw the ball every down. The Patriots know they can pin their ears back. Matt Patricia got very creative with the blitzes yesterday, and that was interesting. They have not blitzed that much at all this year. And then in the fourth quarter of that Raiders game in Mexico City, when they're already up big, it's like Patricia was like testing things out. And he
was experimenting
with all these different
blitzes.
Scientist. And then they kept it going against the Dolphins, and they blitzed a lot, and they sent a lot of defensive back blitzes. And Landon Roberts had the first 2 sacks of his career. But, like, the Dolphins' offensive line is horrible. It's been terrible all season.
And they were missing 2 guys.
They were missing 2 guys. They've had communication issues. I mean, Mike Pouncey's a good center, and he's letting Landon Roberts scream right up the middle unblocked. So, obviously, they're not calling out the protections correctly. So, I'm not ready to sit here and say the pass rush is fixed. I still think that's going to be a big issue, especially when they face a guy like Roethlisberger who can sit in the pocket and can pick you apart. So, the secondary is great. The defense, the fact that they haven't given up 17 points in about 2 months, phenomenal. The defense is certainly playing great, but the pass rush, I'm not ready to buy it yet.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it. And as you mentioned, now 7 straight games where they've allowed 17 points or fewer. That's the number that they judge themselves by. Another element I think that has been better and was better yesterday is red zone offense. And this is something Tom Brady talked about. And this will be something else that's really going to be huge in the playoffs. In the playoffs, when you have an opportunity to score a touchdown, when you get inside that 20-yard line, you need to punch it in and put in the end zone. When you look at the Patriots through the first 8 games of the season, Ben, they were 17 of 34 in the red zone. That was tied for 19th in the NFL, which is unpatriot-like. Since the bye week and since that time, they're 11 of 14. And as I mentioned, a perfect 5 for 5 against the Dolphins yesterday. And that's something they've been working on all year long. It's a little different without Julian Edelman, but their ability to get inside the 20 and then put in the end zone, that really makes it tough, to your point, for teams. When Brady gets up and scores points and puts touchdowns on the board, that puts a lot of pressure on the opposing offense, and it makes it easier for the Patriots' defense.
No doubt about it, and it's interesting. During the bye week, 3 or 4 weeks ago, whatever it is, the Patriots specifically talked about a few areas in which they need to improve, and right at the top of the list was that red zone offense that you mentioned. And look, they're coming away with points. They're still at the top of the league in terms of scoring points on the percentage of drives in the red zone. But you got to finish it with 7, not with 3. They were 6 of 9 in that road trip against the Broncos and the Raiders, and then 5 of 5 yesterday against the Dolphins, which is phenomenal. And they were 4 for 4 in goal-to-go situations, which is also crucial. Once you get it inside the 10, you've got to punch it in. There are some elements that I'm still concerned about. The short yardage rushing is still a concern. Rex Burkhead was stuffed on a 4th and 1. They got 1st and goal inside the 5, and the first run was a negative run. Then they had to throw it in. So, again, the offensive line, the running game, the short yardage running, and the screen game, their screen game has been terrible all year. Yeah. Every time they're throwing a screen pass, it's getting blown up at the line of scrimmage. But all that matters is getting the ball in the end zone, and 5 for 5 in the red zone is phenomenal, and I'm just not sure that any team is going to be able to slow down the Patriots when they're scoring like that.
Yeah, and they were really good, too. I mean, the touchdown pass to Rex Burkhead, I mean, Brady was like somebody playing chess. He just manipulated the board to get Burkhead one-on-one against Chase Allen, and that was easy pickings.
Burkhead motions out of the backfield. Brady floats it up. Caught by Burkhead. Touchdown, New England.
And then that little jet sweep touch pass they do to Brandon Cooks. Those count for Brady, and he had 4 touchdown passes on Sunday, but it's almost too easy. The guy's the greatest quarterback of all time. All he has to do is flip the ball forward a half yard. He gets credit for a touchdown pass.
Flip it to Cooks. Cooks, he's got the speed, and he's got the touchdown.
It almost seems unfair. There's a lot about the Patriots in the AFC East that seems unfair. All right, we're going to take a brief timeout here on Season Ticket. When we come back, I want Ben Volen to tell me who is the biggest winner of the Patriots season thus far. We'll talk about that, and we'll go around the rest of the NFL when we come back. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with the Globe's Ben Volen. Ben, the Patriots, with this victory against the Miami Dolphins, ensured their 17th straight winning season. They're the first team to do that since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. But I want to talk about a different type of winner. Who's the big winner of the Patriots season so far? I'll tell you mine. It's Tom Brady. Brady's playing at an MVP level at age 40. Some people didn't think he could do that. Doing that without his best receiver, Julian Edelman. And Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. He now has a clear path to finishing his career here in New England. So Tom Brady's my big winner so far of the Patriots 2017 season. Who do you have?
We're really going out on a limb there, picking Tom Brady.
That's true.
Where'd you come up with that one? I've got two here. I'll keep them brief. My first one is Deion Lewis. Talk about a guy who's made himself a lot of money this year. He's entering a contract year. He's going to be a free agent after this season. Started this season, buried on the depth chart, 4th running back. Mike Gillisley was getting the load, the majority of the carries. And here we are now, and he's the clear-cut number one back, rushing for 100 yards yesterday for the first time in his career. He's only 5'9 and about 190 pounds, but boy, does he run with a lot of power, and obviously has those moves back from a couple years ago. So Deion Lewis has been a big winner. Another guy I look to on the other side of the ball, actually the coaching staff, Matt Patricia. You know, we gave him, and I certainly did, a lot of heat early in this year when the defense was playing horribly, and we certainly have to give him a lot of credit now with the defense not allowing more than 17 points over the last 7 games. But in terms of if I'm another team and I'm looking for a head coach, you got to love what Patricia has done with this kind of a ragtag defense, showing the improvement, making the corrections throughout the season. That's what you want to see from a coach. Can they evaluate their unit and then put the guys in the best position and show improvement throughout the year? And there's no question that the Patriots defense has improved tremendously throughout this season. He has certainly come on and been a big winner this year.
So you really don't get 2, but I'll give it to you, Ben. You can do 2. When you look at Patricia, I think that's a good one. And if he's going to get a head coaching job, though, he's going to have to clean himself up. I'm sorry. I mean, if people are saying, like, Colin Kaepernick has to cut his hair to play in the NFL again, Matt needs to sort of get rid of the Unabomber beard. But you're right, he's done a fantastic job. And Deion Lewis averaging more than 5 yards a carry. I said from the beginning of the year that they should have been playing Deion Lewis, and I never really understood why they sort of buried him on the depth chart, and I think he's paying huge dividends for them now. So that's two from Ben Volen, and I obviously have my Mr. Obvious choice, but really, I say Brady's the big winner. It's not the stats so much, it's that Jimmy's gone.
How about, for big winner, how about Don Yee, the agent? He got Brady is now secure as the Patriots quarterback for the next 3 years. He got Jimmy a landing spot in San Francisco. He doesn't have to worry about Jimmy overtaking Tom and kicking him out, and Jimmy's about to get paid this offseason. So Don Yee is kind of a big winner in all this, too.
He is, orchestrating things behind the scenes. Speaking of Jimmy G, Patriots fans, you might be interested to know he made his San Francisco 49ers debut on Sunday. He came in late in the game for an injured CJ Beathard, and Jimmy looked good. He was 2 for 2 for 18 yards, and he threw a touchdown pass on the last play of the game, an Aaron Rodgers-esque scramble.
Time winding down, 5 seconds remaining. Garoppolo moving to his left, looking towards the end zone. He throws! Touchdown!
What did you think of Jimmy G in his first action? It seems like the Niners moving forward are going to let him be the starter. Honestly, I don't understand what's taking so long. He's clearly their best quarterback, their best hope of being relevant again, and they're protecting him. He has to be the guy, but he did look really good.
Kid's got some magic.
He does have a little
magic. Comes in the game, throws a touchdown. I think the Niners, obviously, they know their season is lost, and they said C.J. Beathard had played well enough and done enough behind the scenes to kind of earn that start. I think maybe they're worried that the personnel on offense is so bad that they don't want Jimmy to get hurt. The offensive line and the receivers and stuff, that if they put him out there.
Yeah.
But I'm pulling for him to start this week. They play at Chicago. That's a hometown game for him.
That's right.
I'd love to see Jimmy get that start at Soldier Field. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to someone with some ties to Jacoby Brissett earlier this year, and I said, boy, Jimmy's got to be, it's got to be killing him not to play. And they're like, he's chilling. I mean, Jimmy's set. He's going to be a free agent after this year, and he's going to get paid whether he plays another down or not. So, frankly, the only thing that can happen to him is he hurts his value if he goes out there and plays poorly. If he plays well, and they win a few games, they're still going to apply the franchise tag to him. He's still going to do well with the contract, but he's going to get that either way. So if you're Garoppolo, I wonder if you're okay with maybe sitting out the rest of the season, considering how bad the Niners are. But they're definitely committing to him. They're going to use the franchise tag on him. He is their guy moving forward. But frankly, I think if you're Garoppolo, you're okay with maybe not playing right now.
Financially, you're right. He's good to go. But ultimately, if you're a competitor, which he is, and if you're someone who compares yourself to Aaron Rodgers, which he did to me when I asked him about it at the Super Bowl, you want to be on the field. He's one of those guys that when the lights come on, he plays his best. And I think if you're the 49ers and you want to see the best of Jimmy G, you got to get him in some of these games. Plus, he's mobile. He's a mobile quarterback. He can escape some of these guys with a bad offensive line. But it was fun to see him play. It really was, just to see him out there.
Think of it this way, though. What if he sprains his ankle or tears his knee, and then he spends the offseason, instead of getting him ready to go to take over for his first full season, he's got a rehab, and he's not going to be there in OTA.
So but any player can get hurt any week, Ben.
Right.
You can't function that way. You can't function. I can see if he has a pre-existing injury that you want to protect, then I get that. But you have to be able to move him forward, and the only way to do that is for him to play.
Yes and no. I mean, I had a nice conversation with Scott McLuhan a few months ago. He was the GM of the Redskins, and he helped build the 49ers Super Bowl teams.
Yep.
And I was like, do you think the Patriots know what they have in Jimmy? He said, absolutely. They see him every day. They see him in the meetings and in practice. And, you mentioned he didn't play that well in preseason practices. The Patriots still loved him.
Oh, yeah.
They knew what they had, and the Niners know what they have. And I don't think they necessarily need to see him out on the field with a 1-9 team just to prove, okay, we feel confident. They can see him behind the scenes. They know what they've got with him. And again, there's no rush for the Niners. Their season's over. They're starting over from scratch this offseason with $100 million in cap space. And like I said, God forbid Jimmy spends his offseason rehabbing instead of preparing and playing. So I think it's the prudent move to take your time with Jimmy.
All right, so I want to swing this back to the Patriots, Ben. And Pittsburgh Steelers coach Mike Tomlin took a very unpatriot-like approach to the looming showdown for home field advantage in the AFC East between the Steelers and the Patriots. That game will be December 17th at Heinz Field. Right now, those teams both have the best record in the AFC. They're tied at 9-2. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say about that game.
Man, I'm going to embrace the elephant in the room. It's going to be fireworks. Man, that's going to be a big game. But probably if we're both doing what we're supposed to do, the second one is really going to be big. And what happens in the first is going to set up.
There you go.
The second one is going to determine the location of the second one. You know.
I like it. I mean, why not? It's good to see unpatriot-like teams. You know, the Patriots are boring. They don't provide any hype. They don't sell the product. This is good. Mike Tomlin said, Tony Dungy asked me not to use coach speak, so I didn't. And it's obvious. Everyone, we all know, we've seen the standings. It's the Patriots and the Steelers and everyone else in the AFC. Everyone knows it's going to be a huge game with probably the number one seed on the line. So Mike Tomlin's only acknowledging the obvious. So good for him for not sticking his head in the sand. I don't think he's going to have any bearing on the game. It's not going to give the Patriots bulletin board material and sharpen their focus or anything like that.
But does it mean Pittsburgh is already looking past Cincinnati and Baltimore, two division opponents?
Maybe, but, you know, Mike Tomlin even said, like, he clarified later, like, of course we're not going to look past them and we're going to take them seriously. I mean, who knows? Those are division games. Weird things happen when the Bengals and the Steelers
especially
play.
That Ravens-Steelers rivalry.
Ravens-Steelers. Well, to me, it's Bengals-Steelers with, remember, the playoff game a couple years ago?
Yeah, that gets nasty. You're right. That gets really
Joey
physical.
Porter. And so those are two physical games coming up for the Steelers, so they shouldn't get ahead of themselves. But I like the fact that he's acknowledging the obvious and acting like a fan and not like you know, a Patriots coach.
Yeah, you definitely won't find the Patriots looking ahead. They're like one game at a time. That's the mantra always down there. But it is interesting from Mike Tomlin, and you know, I'm not going to fault it. He is basically, as you said, acknowledging the obvious. I'll say this. I do think Pittsburgh's going to drop a game before they get to the Patriots, whether it's Cincinnati or Baltimore. I'm thinking it might be Baltimore the game right before. That wouldn't change things that much if they're one game, say, behind the Patriots, because if they still win that game, they tie the Patriots and they'd have the tiebreaker. But I would not be surprised if Pittsburgh dropped a game before they get to December 17th against the Patriots.
And I'm telling you, don't pencil in two wins yet for the Patriots either. I like them, obviously, this Sunday in Buffalo. But that Monday night game in Miami, that's always a tough place for them to play. The Dolphins will have recent history, obviously, playing them just 2 weeks before. They push Brady around and smack them around a little bit Monday night. I'm not going to pencil that one in as a win for the Patriots just yet.
All right, so maybe both teams will have an additional loss before that showdown. Maybe we're all like Mike Tomlin. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but we covered a lot of ground today. Ben, thanks for coming in on Season Ticket. It was a lot of fun.
All right, thanks a lot, Chris.
All right, that's Ben Volen. You can find him on Twitter. His handle is at Ben Volen. That's going to be it for this edition of Season Ticket. Season Ticket is a production of the Boston Globe Sports Department and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you like us, be sure to tell a friend about our podcast and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like us, leave us a review. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.